Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, I want to welcome you to the little love church of the Bonobo Way in the new village of Bonoboville, baby. Yes, indeed. Happy Gay Pride Month, yeah. It's still Gay Pride Month, yeah. And bonobos are gay, right? They are. Bonobos are gay, and that's okay. I mean, actually, we could say they're bisexual or pansexual, but gay, you know, LGBTQ, but not the A, not for bonobos anyway. And we're celebrating. We're so excited here at the Little Love Church of the Bonobo Way to celebrate gay pride. In fact, you know, I mean, really, gay pride should take the bonobos as a mascot, because they really do show how natural, you know, same-sex relations are. Not just natural, because a lot of species do show that, but they show that same-sex relations create peace through pleasure. That's right. The girls do each other, hoka hoka. Uh-huh. I call it radical twerking sometimes, although that's controversial. Some people don't like me calling it twerking. Or you can call it the bonobo tango if the people in Uruguay don't get too upset with that. And then there's the boys who do, you know, penis fencing, right? En garde. Anyway, that's just a lollipop. Don't worry, Facebook. It's just a lollipop. It's okay, this is a banana. Real. Right. And that, by the way, that you hear is Sunshine. Welcome, Sunshine McWayne. Yeah. She is my new show assistant. I'm so excited to have Sunshine here. And some of you will recognize Sunshine from her most recent appearance, which was on our Lupercalia Bacchanalia. And that was back in February when we were doing big bacchanals, which we will do again. Right now we're doing small shows. But Sunshine played the part of the sacrificial goat so well that we made you the show assistant. Well, actually, it didn't quite happen like that. But welcome, Sunshine. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Good, good. So let's celebrate gay pride. But I do want to say, you know, something a little bit critical. I love gay pride, LGBTQ, and even the A people, you know, all you asexual people. What can I say?
It's the whole alphabet just rearranged, right?
Well, yeah. They're trying to get the whole alphabet in there. But I don't know. I mean, Pride has gone kind of corporate, right? I mean, it's sponsored by Wells Fargo, Walmart, T-Mobile, Bud Light, lot of that stuff. You know, it's not the revolutionary experience that the first Pride March really was. The first Pride March was in 1970. You remember 1970, Captain Max?
I remember 1970.
All right. Well, I don't know if you were there, but on Christopher Street, they had the first gay liberation Pride March. Yes, indeed. And it was on the first anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion. That's right. Stonewall. You know about Stonewall? Well, they had this amazing, spontaneous riot back in 1969, actually. Good year, 1969. And it was against a police raid. They had a lot of police raids back then. And then just all of a sudden, the LGBTQ, no A people, I don't think, at the Stonewall, but they just rebelled. And it was mostly what you might call cross-dressers, transvestites, whatever phrase you want to use. They were, you know, just had enough. And they started attacking the police, you know, nicely, kind of nicely. But in any case, the police had been attacking them for years, I mean decades, centuries, millennia. And at Stonewall especially, Stonewall was relatively open to the gay community, but it was owned by the Genovese Mafia crime family. You know about the Genoveses?
Max.
Mamma Mia. Not that Max was a member, but I don't know if they also published magazines, but you know, a lot of these crime families did. But this was a crime family that owned Stonewall, and, you know, they were there for the gay community, but at the same time, they would sometimes, you know, get tip-offs from the police that the police were coming, and they wouldn't tell the patrons. And
I have a
awful
question. Wasn't it like a certain bar or something that was like a gay bar?
Stonewall.
The
Stonewall Inn is what it was called.
And then the police raided that bar.
That was the most popular bar. It was a relatively inexpensive bar. You know, there would be sort of shishi bars that more wealthy gay people would go to. But this was more of a people's bar. And so, you know, they would raid it like once a month. And, you know, sometime in June of 1969, they just had enough. The patrons had enough. And they started, you know, kind of rebelling against the police, rioting. And they were put in paddy wagons, but they fought back. And there was one woman whose name they don't know, really, who really fought a lot, a lesbian woman. And she kind of got it going. She kind of said, hey, they're attacking me, meaning the police, and putting her in a paddy wagon. And she said, what are you guys going to do? And so, yes, Betsy, yes, Betsy. Betsy's excited that there's new people here. Actually, Hollywood Jake, handsome Hollywood Jake. Hey, handsome Hollywood Jake is here with a beautiful girl who I think I met.
She's coming to
But I forget her name. And Betsy doesn't recognize her. So she's getting the Betsy treatment. She'll calm down. She's beautiful.
And she just now started barking.
All right. And Loser is somewhere here. Betsy might be barking at Loser. So this was a revolutionary occurrence, the Stonewall riots. Betsy remembers. You know, Betsy's old enough.
Yeah, Betsy.
And it also was commemorated with this very revolutionary parade in the Greenwich Village. And, you know, it's grown to this big behemoth of a parade, kind of like the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade, but in rainbow. And, you know, now gay police march in their uniforms. I'm not sure if they have their guns on them. Maybe they do. You know, some kind of weaponry. And I have kind of mixed feelings about that, I have to say. I mean, I have you know, utmost support for the LGBTQ community. I mean, going mainstream, being part of the mainstream, being part of normal. Although I've never been normal myself. So I don't know. I kind of maybe think, maybe being normal is not so great. And also, it is all part of the corporate capitalist kind of corporatization of human life that is destroying not just human life, but lots of other life on Earth. And it's out of control. And, you know, so I'm not for all of these corporations jumping on the bandwagon, although, you know, they're kind of part of our life. So I have, like I said, mixed feelings. Now, on the other side, people are organizing a straight pride parade, which is kind of weird, kind of funny, but also kind of scary. It's obviously to mock LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
And they say that the guys that organizing it, I don't want to say their names even, but that they're kind of racist, very anti-LGBTQ, and very for guns rights. They've done rallies for guns rights with a group called Resist Marxism. Now, I think we the people need to get more Marxist, more Marxist, more socialist. You know, I mean, not Brezhnev style, but sort of the way, I guess you could say, the Europeans and to some degree the Cubans, if the Cubans didn't have so much trouble from the United States, but certainly European-style socialism, Bernie-style socialism. And, yeah, Marx was a genius. And we need to resist corporate fascism before it kills us all. That's right. So meantime, I'm in my rainbow pride colors. Oh, baby. With a rainbow sucker.
So what you were saying, the commercialism of pride, right after the first time we had the conversation, I saw this huge billboard, and it was for cannabis oil, and it was saying pride and it had rainbows, and I was like, oh, what?
Whoa.
Gay cannabis. How is cannabis oil gay or straight? And I was like, oh, it's so. They've commercialized everything. Everything now.
Everything gets co-opted and commercialized. So far, except sex work. We'll see what happens. We hope that they decriminalize sex work. And down with Sesta Fosta. You know, but I don't know. You know, what that will be. But in any case, I'm in my rainbow pride colors. You have some rainbow pride colors and a hot dog, you know, which is very prideful. And I am against, you know, they're organizing a separate march for the people that are not corporate, which I respect, but I don't like the fact that they say we shouldn't party. Betsy doesn't like that either. Hey,
yeah,
Betsy
wants to go to a
she wants to go to a parade.
She wants to go to
She's
a
going to a parade with Miguel. Okay. Arf! Arf! Dog pride.
Dog pride.
Dog pride. Dog pride. You say cannabis pride? How about canine pride?
Canine pride.
Puppy pride.
Puppy pride. Oh, my God, I love puppy pride.
Well, it is alliterative.
Yeah.
And I am not with the anti-party brigade, in case you haven't figured that out. I believe in the maxim of Emma Goldman. I don't want to be part of any revolution I can't dance to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that includes sex, because dancing is a vertical expression of a horizontal position. So, we're going to get to sex in a minute. Actually, well, I mean, gay pride is about sex, I guess, kind of. Although it's gotten corporate, so it almost feels like it's not about sex anymore.
Yeah,
it's gotten so
lost.
Corporate. You've got to, you know, appeal to all these corporate sensibilities, so they're kind of taking the sex out of it in a way. And yeah, I got back from ASECT in Philly a little while ago. As some of you know, I went to the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists in Philly. I was invited there to give a talk on the Bonobo Way, an alternative grade ape paradigm for human sexuality and transformative healing pleasure. And so I saw Billy Penn, you know, on top of City Hall. You Philly people know what I'm talking about. Yo! And I ate hoagies, yo. So City of Brotherly Love sounds like gay pride. Hoagies look like gay pride. I wish I had a hoagie. I love hoagies now. I'm a hoagie person. I don't know why I think they're better than submarine sandwiches. That's probably just nostalgia. But I also delivered the Bonobo Way and dealt with the mad moderator of A-Sect.
The board of directors. One of the board of directors.
She was also on the board of directors.
Erectors.
Erectors. No, not erectors. I don't know. Anyway, I don't blame A-Sect exactly, although it was
they were too tolerant.
Disrupted. Let's say my bonobos were disrupted quite aggressively. And we will be giving you details in the blog in about 3-4 days. You know, got to get through the show and do the show blog and all that stuff. And, you know, it's not my priority, but I will also not be quiet. Some people would like me to shut up.
Oh, yes.
Some people. And it's just not in me. I just can't. Well, thank you, Max. yeah, I got to come out with the story because it was quite disturbing, and I love A-Sect, and I don't like to see A-Sect represented in such an unprofessional, unbecoming manner as the mad moderator presented. So, details coming soon. And yes, her name is Roz DiCiavo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But anyway,
I don't want to name drop.
Roz, yeah. No, I'm going to be name dropping in the blog, so I might as well hear. I'm not trying to keep it a secret. I just don't want to give all the details because the blog is coming soon. So stay tuned. Now, really, the best part of the trip, sexually speaking, that is, let's talk about sex. Aside from my super-duper orgasms with my husband of 27 years, Captain Max, he's now flirting with the guests. But, you know, that's okay. I'll just talk about the guy I was flirting with on the plane. Actually, well, kind of flirting. I mean, we had a great conversation. It was a sunset flight because you started at sunset in Philly and because you're going west, you had the sunset for like 3 hours. You had the sunset through Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, whatever those little states are, Missouri. I mean, it didn't go down to like Texas. Of course, it went down in Texas. And so you had this beautiful, heavenly thing going on. And it was nice because I was molested by TSA agents three times. Very invasively molested. Not super invasively, but I can see why people get traumatized by this. I, of course, you know, especially with the last two women that did it, they were very attractive, so I didn't mind. The first one was grumpy and a bit of a problem. But, yeah, I can see why other people are traumatized. And, of course, the funny thing is they say it's to prevent terrorism, this TSA pat
BS.
Down. They feel you everywhere.
You know, every time in the airport, they used to always steal my vibrator out of my luggage. So how is that for, what, preventing a bomb? What are they prevent? What are they doing when they do that?
Well, they're just interested.
They're just perving out in my luggage.
Perving out. I mean, it's the same reason.
They would
like,
only take
what
the
do
vibrator.
You think I've got in my boobs here? I mean, okay. Maybe I've got something, but they concluded I had nothing in my boobs, pussy, or ass crack, and let me go back and forth. but yeah, it was pretty invasive.
Well, attacks against the TSA are up. There was a young man the other day who came running out of the machine and knocked out 5 of them.
Are you serious?
Serious.
No, you're kidding. I can't tell when you're kidding somebody.
No. This is
true. He knocked out?
Yeah, and there was one big one.
Wow.
Who was running to help, And she literally rolled.
Was he nuts or was he? Did he have a purpose?
He got pissed off.
He just got pissed off at being groped and pushed around.
And he came
There's
out.
A lot of groping. I will say this. Yeah. It's funny because I was going to a conference, which, among other things, was about touch and, you know, consensual, non-consensual touch, various issues regarding touch, like whether it's, you know, the difference between educational touch and sexual touch, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let me just say the TSA is into sexual, non-consensual touch. That is what they're doing. A lot of it. Sexual, non-consensual, invasive, rough, because they don't want to act like they're enjoying it, I guess. Or maybe they're doms. I don't know. But they're like, rah, 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 rah.
I think that's just a front. They love their job. They keep coming back.
Oh, they do.
They
yeah.
The same very, groping
They
technique.
Like to do it rough.
They also have very high IQs.
The TSA people?
Yeah.
The TSA people?
Very high.
So back to the plane, which was a delight. The one going back from Philly to L.A. Not the one going from L.A. to Philly. That
the
was
one going from L.A.
awful.
To Philly, they kneecap you.
Yeah, and that was supposedly
like
in the more room seats.
Communist threat.
But the one going back, I was sitting with this guy. I had the best conversation. He told me he was about to get married, and he said what he did for a living, which was that he sold like luxury cars to rich people. And he said, I don't want to work for rich people anymore. And I went, yeah. And he said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a sex therapist. And he said, yeah. Well, he didn't do that. But he did say, really? Oh, I suppose people often ask you questions, and that's probably very annoying. But may I? And I said, sure. And he said, do you know anything about cuckolding? Do I know anything about cuckolding? I only wrote the definition for the Wiley-Blackwell International Encyclopedia of Human Sexuality. I did. And, you know, I have this whole sperm wars theory. Look it up, sperm wars and cuckolding. And, yeah, if you want to talk about this kind of stuff, we are taking calls tonight.
Taking calls.
Also, you could post comments on Facebook. We have Sunshine. It's her first night.
She might not know
what to do.
Yeah, I don't know.
But she's there. We would prefer you call, but if you got to just comment on Facebook, go ahead. So, okay.
Where?
The phone number is 626-461-5950. That's the regular number. You can call that anywhere in the world. And then we have a toll-free number just for North America. Yeah. But you can call us whether you're legal, illegal, whatever you are. And, you know, 1-866-289-7068. Let's talk about what's on your mind, in your heart, and between your legs. Either or. And so this is all, you know, I mean, I can't say it's confidential. When we do our therapy, of course, it's totally private and confidential. But the show is once a week, live. It's not confidential. But it's just your voice.
Just your voice, correct.
Just your voice. Although ASEC gave me a hard time
if
about the whole voice
thing.
If you have a famous voice, maybe you should use one of those voice disguisers.
So can I tell my... Go on.
Can you tell your... I do have other things to talk about, but
go.
You could interrupt me.
No.
I love it when you interrupt me. I don't feel as disruptive like some people, and you're sweet about it. Now, if you were going to interrupt me in an antagonistic way, like the mad moderator of ASECT, well, I might have to... Actually, I was very nice to her because I'm a pussy. It's true. I wanted to do my talk. I wanted to please her. Okay, now it's done. I'm not going to be nice anymore. I mean, I'm still nice. I really don't want to hurt anybody. I just don't think ASECT should be represented by antagonistic, unprofessional people. But anyway, did you want to talk about ASEC?
No. Oh, sure. Actually, I'm writing to them also.
Right, of course you because are. Because you were there.
Okay, we have,
a caller.
So tell him we'll be right with him because I'm telling my story.
Okay, tell him we'll be right with him. His name is Chris. I didn't hear what he wanted to talk about, but blah, 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 blah. Hey, Rami. Okay. So,
all right, go ahead. Let's
okay,
talk to the,
Chris. Let's talk to Chris.
Let's talk to Chris.
And then we'll talk to you again. We're going to talk to Chris now, and then we're going to talk about T-Rump.
And other things.
And other things. Go ahead, Chris. Oh,
hang
okay. Hang on. Is he talking to me?
Yes,
that's Abe, by the way.
Everybody hang on. This is a very high class
Not only is it Pride Month, it's Abe's and my birthday month. And it's Trump's birthday month, which is really embarrassing. I hate that Trump is also a Gemini. But I did spend it with Jessica Drake, the 11th accuser of Trump.
Chris.
Oh, Chris.
Are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Block. How are you? And welcome back from your trip.
Oh, Chris. Oh, I know Chris. Chris, you sang for us last time. Thank you very much. Happy Gay Pride.
So welcome, Abby Gay Pride, right back at you. And let me tell you, it was a historic week for my hometown because we raised the flag for the first time in our city. It was so powerful.
The Gay Pride flag.
Oh, I thought you meant the flagpole.
Yes, we had a big ceremony
I have both
on
here.
June 19th of this week. It was so powerful. And the turnout was absolutely amazing. I think you saw some of the pictures I posted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just got back from the city of brotherly love, so it is related, and I ate hoagies.
I know.
But, I haven't been able to see much of anything. But maybe I did. I think I did. I think I saw pictures. Anyway, congratulations, Mazel Tov, and, you know, cheers.
Want me to lay the details, and I'll tell you what happened. That there was also some big guests that were there as well. We had some of the Real Housewives of from the reality shows.
Right.
Real Housewives at this event too, and it was a big thing. It was like we held it at the Englewood Library, and there were several major speakers, including two students from the school that I have.
I should do a show, Real Housewives of Bonoboville. I'm the Real Housewife of the Bonoboville.
The head housewife, yeah.
Okay, go on. I'm sorry. I just got this brainstorm. Real Housewives of Bonoboville.
Yes.
Okay.
And here's the best part. When that thing came, the historic raising of the flag, my God, I just had hair shit standing up on my spine, and my words were just speechless. Because when I caught that moment on video, and it was even seen all over the world, including on the social media pages, it felt like we had a new dawn arise for our city because it never happened before. The flag was
in Englewood, New Jersey.
Englewood.
Well, congratulations.
And in front of the library, actually.
Yeah, see, Gay Pride is going mainstream, and I'm happy about that. Although I don't love all the corporate sponsors and the police participating, but
telling us
you know
what
I mean. I got mixed feelings, but I'm happy that the flag went up and that gave a lot of people a lot of joy and a lot of courage because we need courage because you know there's a lot of anti-LGBTQ things going on in the Trump administration,
and I'll be showing more courage because I will be doing the No Hate photo shoot this week. In New York City and on Friday, which happens to be my mother's birthday, actually.
Oh, happy birthday, Chris's mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Doing the Pride Parade in New York City, too.
How's she doing? I know she's not doing well, and you're taking care of her.
Yeah, she's a real tough cookie.
She's tough. Okay, good.
She'll be 69 this year.
Wow.
69.
69. Oh, 69. Oh, 69. Well, that's a good age.
Yes,
you know, 69.
Is a wonderful age.
Good number,
if
anyway.
If you substitute 10 years, she's way younger, and she's a true heck of a fighter. And let me say this to anyone who doubts about this lady, Susan Block, she's a true lady who knows peace through pleasure.
Thank you.
Inside and out. And she wrote the book on love and pleasure. So
a few
if
of them.
You really care about this lady, stand with her. Make
stand
her
with
your
me.
Choice.
Woo! Thank you, Chris. All right. We're going to beat them. We are. Thank you so much for calling in and reporting on the gay pride flag going up in Englewood, New Jersey. And we're very proud and prideful about that.
Although, I have a little news from Philly.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to say goodbye to Chris.
Yeah, goodbye, Chris.
But we'll talk to you again, you know, maybe next week or the week after.
Standing.
Love you.
Yeah.
Give our love to your mom and happy 69th birthday.
Right.
That is a good age. I mean, it's kind of old, but, you know, I'm getting kind of old. And 69 is a great number, you know. I mean, I don't know if she's going to do 69, but at least it's good to know I'm 69. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so anyway.
So,
in Philly.
They have, the police have a secret website where they can
put our
send messages against gays, against blacks, against...
Oh, so that's terrible. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, the
if it's a secret, how do you guys know
about it? That's like when Frank
it?
Rizzo was mayor.
Right. So they suspended 84 officers.
For doing that.
From the Philly police.
Well, they should. Well, thank goodness.
Right, there you
thank
go.
Goddess. You know, there was a gay Philly police officer who was out, and he killed himself. It's very sad. I don't know when he did, but a short time ago. And so there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad going on, and we have to pump up the good and fight the bad. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But sometimes you have to fight.
Mm.
You know, I don't fight physically, except I can do thumb wrestling. I'm really good at that. I'm really good at
that. We use the pen.
Yeah.
Use the pen.
Keyboards. The pen.
I use my whole body when I'm thumb wrestling. And you can only use your thumb. That's the rule.
Right.
Okay. So Trump. Let's talk about Trump, and then we'll move on to more sex.
Okay.
As well as we have a special guest tonight.
We have a
who's hiding or maybe getting ready.
What happened to him?
I don't know.
Loser.
Loser. Loser is a winner.
He's coming soon.
Okay. So Trump. Trump is threatening, I guess you would say, ICE raids everywhere. At first he said he's going to be arresting millions of people.
Yeah, of course.
And then he says, well, no, I'm not. I'll wait and see if the Democrats can come up with a plan. But, you know, I mean, he's just putting everyone in turmoil. And maybe, I mean, he will do these raids of millions of people. And even if it's not millions of people, it's a lot of people. He is already raiding people that live here and that are good contributors to America, but that might not have all their papers in order. And it's just terrible, breaking up families and creating post-Trump sex disorder in couples, you know, because he takes the husband away or the wife away and sends them to somewhere, you know, to somewhere in Central America where he says they came from, but maybe they didn't even, you know, and it's just appalling. And then there's the kids. Okay, I am not a big fan of children. I don't like children all that much. But come on. Come on. He's putting these children not just in cages, and that's not a just, but they are in worse situations than prisoners. They are in concentration camps. And I'm glad Loser is in the room for this because I want to say that. They are these refugee camps. Are concentrate because they concentrate the refugees,
they're
the children.
Putting some of them in the old Japanese camps,
and those they called detention camps, were concentration camps. And okay, they're not death camps. They're not gassing the children yet.
Well, the children are gassing them,
but they're dying. Children are dying.
A lot of farting going on.
Well, yeah, and there's no cleanliness. They're not allowed to have soap. A lot of them.
No,
they're
dangerous.
Not allowed to have blankets. They have very little food and no beds. They sleep on the concrete floor. I mean, okay. So we've got the president here. I'm sorry to get you out of your chair.
It's okay.
But I have to make sure he is well gagged. the president's in my Eames chair. And by the way, he pooped banana while I was away all over the Jeffrey Valance puppy pee pad. And fortunately, Anna, we love Anna. Yay, Anna.
Yay, Anna.
Come on up and say hello. Oh, hello. You're saying hello from afar. Maybe you need to get some little drink at the bar. Hey, Jake is here. He can be the bartender. Okay, so Trump is now under gag order. He's not allowed to have bananas anymore because he made a mess with that banana. And he doesn't even let the children have bananas. These children, they are not okay. And you know why they're here? Why are they here? And it is a big problem. I'm not saying the Democrats are going to know what to do. And Obama started this. It started before Obama, but Obama kept it going. And Trump is just making it 1,000 times worse. But they're here because America interferes with the governments of these countries. Just like they tried to interfere with Venezuela, but failed miserably. But they interfere with Guatemala and with El Salvador, Honduras, all these places, Mexico, but really mostly the Central American places. They get rid of the quote-unquote Marxist leaders who want to help the people, and they put in these criminals, really, just gangsters, and not in a good gangsta way, you know, not in the fun gangs. People, you know, the leaders are killing people, and it's because of American interference. And now the people are here trying to just get away so that they won't be killed. And sometimes their children are separated from us. Sometimes their children come by themselves. And this doofus is in charge of it and bragging about it. And, you know, it's like the theater of cruelty. He talks about it almost like cruelty porn for his white supremacist base so they can get off on it. Even if he doesn't do some of the things he's saying, which he might do, but even if he doesn't, he's like inciting his racist base, and it's disgusting. And also, he raped another one. I mean, another one came out. And this one happens to be someone I admire a lot, E. Jean Carroll. She was really big in the 90s, so to speak. She's a tall woman and beautiful and brilliant and a great writer, the advice columnist for Elle, and was one of my inspirations in my life. And, he raped her in Bergdorf's, of all places. Bergdorf's a very, very expensive, fancy store in New York. And, and he raped her in the dressing room. Now, she went into the dressing room with him, which she admits was not a good idea. But as soon as she went, and they were joking, and he says, you should try on this lingerie. And she says, no, you should try it on. And silly her thought she could get him to try it on. And then they go in the dressing room, and he pushes her up against the wall, and he basically pulls down her tights and sticks his penis inside of her. And she says, I don't know if it was the whole penis or half. That sounds like it was the whole thing, but kind of worth half.
The whole?
The whole or half.
He said, I'll give her both inches.
Yeah. It was a rape. I mean, that's getting your penis inside somebody against their will while she's saying, no, no, stop. And it was very late, and I don't know, Bergdorf's didn't have their salespeople around. And anyway, it's in her book. I know she's trying to sell a book, but it's a good story. And, yeah, it was just Trump's birthday. I feel so embarrassed that he was born in June, like me and Abe and Marilyn. And he's a Gemini. But I spent his birthday with one of his accusers, Jessica Drake, the porn star, who's also a sex educator. And she was the 11th accuser. So she puts the number 11 on her palm to give herself strength because, you know, he denies it, of course. And he didn't really rape her. You would say he molested her in, I think, an elevator, but I'm not sure. The same weekend as he had sex with Stormy Daniels. So he was kind of feeling up all the porn stars, and then Stormy went for it, I guess. But Jessica said it was non-consensual, and he denies it. But, you know, there are pictures of them together. Anyway, he's got to go. You know, I agree with AOC. This president, although I would call him a president, needs to be impeached. Not because of Russia, because that's, I don't know, too complicated. And I kind of like the whole bromance thing. But because of keeping children in cages, and yeah, I don't even really like children, but it's wrong, and because of a million other things he's doing. I mean, let's just say he's accelerating the destruction of the environment. And you know what? He's not doing anything all that different. He's just doing it a lot more and a lot worse than past presidents.
And more openly.
And more openly and more just... is there such a word as evilly? More evilly.
I think the first thing I thought was the only word I could describe. God, that's so vindictive.
So that, what?
Vindictive.
Vindictive.
I could only think vindictive. The whole, the separating the kids thing, I was like, that's so vindictive. Like he's.
Right.
That's the only thing I could think.
Vindictive is one word. Evil is another.
Evil. Yeah. Evilly. You know. Diabolically. That's what you
said. Yeah. Anyway, he is under gag order with a little baby penis pacifier here in Bonoboville, because that is the only way we will allow him to sit here. And he's no longer allowed to have bananas because he ruined one Jeffrey Valance pee pad, although it should be part of an art exhibit that we'll have with some ruined ones and some good ones. This is a good one. So we love you, Jeffrey. Anyway, there you have it. So if you want to give us a call, the number is, what is the number? 626-461-5950 or 1-866-289-7068. And we'll be here until late, but not too late, so call now. Okay, you can ask a question, tell a story, share a fantasy, make a comment, and or you can try to flirt with Sunshine. And we are going to do Bonoboville Communion in a little while to celebrate. That's right. Facebookers, you can't see that. But right now, I want to get some of my other guests up here. Where should I put them next? Loser.
Luther should just lay here on this.
Loser,
tiger.
Do you want to like be our centerfold?
Just lay there. Sexy.
You can sit up there.
Oh, yes. Okay. Do we only have the one microphone?
We have another microphone.
I mean, he can have mine, right?
Right. But take this, and comes, maybe we'll have another one, too.
Here comes a, no, here comes another microphone.
Okay, we're getting. Why are you blinking so much, Max?
Drinking?
And blinking.
Blinking?
Epileptic seizure.
All right. So are you on now, or the mute? No. Unmute yourself. We mute people kind of automatically around here.
One, two, one, two.
And this
two.
Is Abe.
Eins, zwei, drei. Eins, zwei, drei.
All right. That's German.
Yeah.
Doctor, you want to go near him over here? And
do I want to what?
Go near him?
Go near
no,
him.
No, this is good. This is I like it like this. No, she sits. She sits on the throne.
He needs his space.
No, she's not going to stand and I'm going to sit.
I'm
that's not okay.
I'm stand and you're going to sit. I'm just saying hello.
Oh, hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back
to Bonoboville. Because you have been gone for like ages.
I've been gone, yes.
Ages. Long
time. Cue the music. I've been gone
and
for ages.
You're back.
And I'm back, and I'm sorry. I know you mentioned me earlier, and I wasn't here. I was on a phone call with my Israeli agent.
Oh, I thought it was one of your girlfriends.
Yeah. One of what girlfriends?
One of your many girlfriends.
One of my non-girlfriends.
You're not the A in LGBTQA.
No, what is A?
The A is for asexual.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not that. I just think that all the women I meet are asexual.
Yeah.
Like an earthworm, you cut it in half and then it makes two worms.
But anyway, let's get you know, geographical. You went to Israel, Jordan, and Palestine.
Yes.
Wow.
And Paris and Germany.
And
France and Germany.
But you were shooting a film.
Yes.
In Palestine.
Yes.
And Jordan. And
correct.
You did some filming in Israel as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it depends who you ask. Some people will say I filmed all of it in Palestine, and some people will say I filmed all of it in Israel.
Is that what people would say?
It depends on your perspective, yes.
Wow. Is it that...
What they want to see?
Confusing.
No, it's like it depends. Like, if there are some people who worked on the film who were very, very strong Palestinians, they believed in it very strongly, and they said that the parts that we shot in Jerusalem were also shot in Palestine. And then there are some of my...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
Right.
And then there were, like, my right-wing Israeli friends who were like, Palestine, that doesn't exist. You mean you shot in Israel?
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, wow. They don't think it's a country. It's like, well, do they have their own currency? No. So, like, then it's not a country, I guess.
Oh, my God.
You know? That is... I didn't know what you were talking about.
Flies.
Yeah, they're on my face.
Well,
they're fine.
That's because of Trump spilling his banana.
My beer now.
Yeah.
There were a lot of flies in the Jordanian desert.
Well, you should be used to that.
A lot of flies in the Jordanian desert. Yeah, I couldn't sleep one night because of the flies. Because I would close my eyes.
I'm glad there's some flies though, because you know, with a climate crisis, it's not just climate change. We're destroying so many species, and we're destroying like 90% of the insects are gone. We don't like flies, but they're necessary to the great chain of being of the earth. So sorry that you got some flies. But
no, it's okay. I couldn't sleep one night because I had flies in my tent in the desert. Uh-huh.
So let's just explain what you were doing there. It sounds a little like you were on a diplomatic mission, but you are... No, Jared.
No, Jared Kushner. No, no.
Good. Because we would put him under gag order if he were here.
I know nothing about Jordan. So if you tell us something about Jordan.
Something about Jordan. Well, she was gonna say. I went to film a movie. I went to shoot a film over there.
Can we know the name of the movie?
The name of the movie is called No Name Restaurant.
No Name Restaurant.
No Name Restaurant.
Jot that down. No Name Restaurant.
Yeah.
Is the movie that. Loser and will
you should go eat
be
there
starring
it.
Yeah. Well, he already did
coming,
it. But
coming to a when? Theater, coming to a theater far away from you next year.
next year,
I don't know. I mean, we don't have American distribution yet, so like we don't know what's going to happen with it. But it's definitely going to come out in Germany and several European countries.
Okay,
we don't know what's going to happen with the American release, but it was a German production. It was a German directors and German writers, and like a half. Half of the crew was German. In the parts that we shot in Palestine.
How do you call it? You sound like one of those people that don't believe
in Palestine.
It
what do you call them? Is Palestine Israel? Palestine? Whatever.
Exist.
So the parts that we shot over there, we had a Palestinian crew mostly.
Wow.
And the parts that we shot in Jordan, we had a Jordanian crew. So,
wow,
right.
So I got to know some. I got to know some Palestinians, which I've never met in my life. You know, growing up in Brooklyn and in the Hasidic community, I never met Palestinians, and I met some Palestinians, and I became obviously. You spend a lot of time with these people on set, so you become close to them, and you start to understand the conflict from a completely new perspective, because even like. You know, people, like, even if you read the news, even if you watch Al Jazeera, right? Even if you read follow the Palestinian activists on Twitter.
I think you should sit here. Come
sit over there,
here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if you follow the
just
Palestinian...
this lamp is going to be part of every frame.
Even if you follow the Palestinian activists on Twitter, like, you know, you don't really understand what it's like until you actually meet the people and you talk to them and you see what they're going through. I mean, there was this woman on who worked for us and... one of the producers, the Palestinian crew, her family lives in Gaza.
Yeah.
She hasn't seen them in 12 years.
Oh, my God.
Because you can't go in and out. You can't go out.
And so where does she live?
She lives in, I believe she lives in Ramallah.
Did she have any communication with her family? Can she or
yeah,
no?
I mean, there's cell service over there. But and all that. But also, like,
they can't.
It was
go.
Every other day. It was so weird. Like every other day, not every other day, but it happened several times during the shoot, where like there would be a crew member missing. Oh, what happened? Oh, his brother got shot by an Israeli soldier. You know. Oh yeah, like so and so isn't coming today because his cousin just got shot by an Israeli soldier.
And
I know it sounds like. Like, you know, I think it does happen every day, and it doesn't happen every day. It sounds like I'm calling Israeli soldiers murderers. I'm not. I'm just saying that they do kill Palestinians, and spending.
I mean, they're following orders, but
here's the thing: they're not following orders. I've come to understand after talking to people enough and having a lot of Israeli friends, more Israeli friends than I have Palestinian friends. I came to understand that that's the same way as the cops with black people in America. I think what it's unconscious bias. It's the idea that the cops, when they see a black person reaching for their pocket, because they are subconsciously thinking that black people are dangerous, black men are dangerous, they're like, oh, it's got to be a gun, it's got to be a knife, uh-huh. it's got to be something. And
it's racial profiling.
It's racial profiling,
racial
but also
profiling.
I don't think that
conscious or unconscious.
I don't think that every cop makes a conscious decision like, I will kill a black person, I will kill that N-word. You know, I think that it's just.
Some of them do.
I'm sure there are some of them do, but most of them are just not
like
properly
Philly
trained.
Like those Philly cops that had all that racist stuff in Facebook.
Yeah, they're not properly trained. They have not been trained for unconscious bias. And I think that in Israel, you got the same thing, mm-hmm. where every soldier, one of my co-stars, friend, they were at a checkpoint, which by the way is a whole nother thing, the checkpoints. They were at a checkpoint and one of them got out to look at their tire or something. And of course the soldier automatically assumes he's getting out of the car because the car is about to blow. So he shot him.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
So and the worst thing that happened is that after he got shot, his friends came to help him, and they were getting shot at. And one of the people that came to help him was killed. So he wasn't killed. But
he was shot.
But yeah,
and
but
his friend was killed.
Yes. But the idea is that these soldiers, they're 18, 19-year-olds. They're really young kids with hormones going on. And they don't know any Palestinians. And they don't know how to, they've not been trained in de-escalation or anything. But
they've been trained on video games.
It's very similar to what is happening between cops and black men and black women in this country is happening over there. It's an unconscious bias. It's like people... Who are just not properly trained to just be cool, just wait and see what happens, and of course it's easy to tell someone wait and see what happens. I think what's going to happen is I'm going to get killed, right? But the truth is that you don't do that when it's a white guy. There's this viral video online that I saw where this black kid was outside of a dorm room or something at a college, mm-hmm. and they kept asking him for his ID to prove that he lives there because he was actually doing part of his job of the this place that he was living. He was cleaning the grounds, mm-hmm. and then this white guy shows up and says I'm his counselor, or I'm his whatever from the college. I'm telling you, he lives there.
And they went okay.
And exactly, they didn't wait a second. How do I know you are who you are? How do I know that the white guy is the counselor? Maybe you don't live here either. Apparently, the black guy needs to prove that he lives there. The white guy can come up and say I am not only live here, but I am the boss, and they just believe him. Right, so it's that. It's the mentality. That's what's wrong with it.
We really need retraining. But it's the opposite is happening. People are getting more racist than ever.
I don't think people are getting more racist. I think people are just more open about it.
Well,
I don't think people are getting more racist.
No, I think they're all
Nazis.
They've always been there. They've always been there. They've always been there. They're able to speak out. And also there's a lot of people who weren't racist. But they had questions about these things, and they were and it wasn't important for them to look at those issues. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait a second, I can actually be racist if I have these issues, if I have these small biases against black people.
And
I can be full blown racist. I don't have to not be friends with them or something.
Right. And I think that the leaders such as T. Rump, mm-hmm. and Bibi, and Nigel Farage. They do encourage the racists.
Yeah.
Because their racism is
we
mainstreamed.
You know we shot in front of Bibi's house?
You did?
Yeah.
Where was Bibi?
I don't know where he was, but we got a permit.
Drinking like, his pink champagne.
We had the whole street. We had a night shoot, and it was so funny because our production manager apparently has connections in the Israeli government, and he got us the permit because we wanted to shoot on that street. We needed like a big street so we can put the trucks on and like the mount the cameras on the cars and all that. And it was like right in front of the checkpoint, in front of his gate. And then, by the time we're done at like 6 in the morning, they had a shift change. And the new guy who showed up.
Change?
A shift change.
The security.
The security, yeah.
Shift change.
Yeah, was, yeah, so the guy in the new
we
shift.
We have shift changes too in Bonobo.
I thought it was a shift change.
The guy with the new shift didn't know what was going on. He was like, what are all these trucks? You know, what are you guys doing? What do you guys think you're doing here? And they were going to shut down production.
Uh-huh.
And we had to convince him that we had permits and we had permission from the higher-ups to shoot there.
You had quite a few challenges.
Oh, we had a lot of challenges, yeah.
You know, you're shooting in the hotbed, the Middle East. You know?
We shot in Jericho. We shot in Palestine. We didn't shoot like in... We shot in Jerusalem, too, but we also shot in Palestine proper.
Yeah, Jericho.
You know? In Jericho. Not where like Israeli... No, Israeli citizens are not allowed in Jericho.
No.
Yeah, they're
well,
not
you're
allowed.
You're not an Israeli citizen.
No, I am not.
But you're so
Yeah, there's a big sign. There's a big sign. A big red sign when you drive in.
Jewish?
Yeah. But there's a big sign when you drive in and says, entry for Israeli citizens prohibited. You know, you're not allowed to go in there. And I went to Ramallah, too. That's what I was going to say earlier about Ramallah. Like, even if you, like, read all the news and you follow everything, you hear the word Ramallah and you think, like, oh, war zone. And that's, in my head, that's what I thought. Like, oh, Ramallah, yeah, that's where all the bombs drop. And then I went in there. I went to Ramallah. There's a shuttle that goes from Jericho to Ramallah. I was the only white guy in the car, sitting between two burqas. And,
Two women.
Yeah,
women in
burqas. Yeah, actually not between them because they wouldn't sit. They wouldn't have a man sit between two women.
No,
so I
that
wasn't,
would be
and,
funny.
But they were right next to me over here, and I got there and I went to a coffee shop, and everybody speaks English in Ramallah.
Good.
Like every I went, the owner of the coffee shop is from Hemet, from right here. She's from Hemet, you know where the Scientology headquarters
Hemet.
Is, and. There's a guy, there's
California.
Like everybody speaks English over there. There's a guy, there's a dude in a man bun sitting on his MacBook covered in stickers. And I'm like, am I in fucking Silver Lake or what?
You're among humans.
It was, no, but it was like so hipster. Like I went out drinking there and like everybody is like, I mean, it's like half and half. Half of them are like, half of Ramallah is very conservative, like real, like religious Muslims. And the other half are just like liberal Muslims, like the way American Muslims
would
be.
Well, I don't think of Palestinians as being especially religious.
No, they're not. Especially not in the West Bank, you know.
Yeah.
Gaza is...
They're not the super
well,
religious.
Well, Gaza is controlled by Hamas. So it's a little more religious
That's
over there.
A little more religious.
But Ramallah is all like Fatah, you know. It's all like a very, like it's the more left-wing.
Kind of like Lebanon a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I haven't been to
Lebanon's
Lebanon.
Lebanon's very cosmopolitan.
Yeah, but it's also like, it's the same way in Jordan was also like, well, Jordan is, I think is, I found Jordan to be a lot more religious than Palestine. Yeah.
Jordan.
Yeah.
I just don't know anything about
like,
it.
What, is that where the ladies in the burqas were from?
No, because it's a different country. No, Jericho. No, I'm talking the ladies in the burqa from going from Jericho to like Ramallah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So they were Palestinian.
Yeah, they were Palestinian, but also Jericho, like Ramallah, is like a big cosmopolitan city where everything is happening, everything is going on.
Right.
You know, there's bars and clubs and you know and everything. It's the normal city. It's a
and
normal
bombs?
Functional
I mean,
city.
And war what? And is there bombs there?
Except if you
well, there is
drive
well,
anywhere
only
and you
bombs.
Get out of your car, somebody could shoot you.
Well, wait a minute.
No. Nobody would shoot you in Ramallah. Like if you, listen, I didn't go out. If you show up in Ramallah, you know, wrapped in an Israeli flag, blasting Hava Nagila, you are gonna get killed. Okay. just like if you walk down, you know, the streets of Compton. You know, with bags of cash hanging from your back, you are going to get mugged. It's just like, it's going to happen. Like, it's just a dumb idea to do it. Uh-huh. But if you go in there like me, you know, an American, you know, I didn't look Jewish. Like, I could look Irish. I could be a tourist. I could be anyone. You know, it's a nice, wonderful city.
I don't know.
City.
It's hard for me
but
to
there
think
are,
a
the
loser
bombs,
is not Jewish.
Yeah, I know. But the bombs,
why
the bombs fall.
Why all the time or what?
The bombs fall in one place?
No. So the thing is, like, as I was saying that to my friends over there, I was like, oh, my God, it's such like, and they're like, oh, let me show you what else happens here. Oh, you see this house? You see this piece of land? This used to be a house. It belonged to the mother of a kid who threw a rock at an Israeli soldier, so they flattened the house. You know? And of course, if you go anywhere, you got anywhere like not in the center of the city, you will constantly see Israeli soldiers and a Palestinian guy with his hands on behind his back searching him. You will see tear gas in certain areas. But for the most part, it's like
terrible.
People, that's the thing, like people think of like war zones. It's not really a war zone, but people think of the conflict as like as if it's constant and it's always and it's there. It's in the background, kind of.
Sure.
You know, it's in the background.
Life goes on.
You know, it's like, it's like, you know, America, like, you know, like most life goes on and people think like, oh, every time you go into a school, your kids are going to get shot. No, but it's a possibility.
It's
and
a over strong there, possibility.
Yeah. And so like there's a lot of the people.
That's
what
just
I learned,
like here.
Yeah.
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 So, well, I think it's worse.
So what I learned from these people.
A lot worse.
Boom, boom, you're dead.
So did it change your politics?
I talk so much,
visit?
I get sweaty.
All right. Take it off, baby.
Wouldn't you love that?
Slower, slower. More
Jake?
Sexy, like,
Jake?
Yeah, that face. Yeah.
Jake? You know, I'm the kind of guy.
What
Hollywood,
kind of guy
Hollywood man, let me tell you something. I'm the kind of guy, you know, when girls say, take your shirt off, take your shirt off. I take it off. They're like, oh, no, no, it's all right. Put it back on. Put it back on. It's okay. You know, you take your shirt off and girls go like, I want to lick that. I take my shirt off. I'm like, all right, go back to the concentration camp. You know, wherever you came from. You look like you just walked out.
So how about
when you take your pants off, then.
Yeah, then they're like, oh, that's where all your muscles are at.
Yeah.
Okay.
How were the strip
search? Pa-ching. What?
How were the strip search clubs?
The strip searches
strip
in the
search clubs?
They don't have strip
in
clubs.
Israel?
No. In where you were in that city.
In Jordan?
Yeah.
Oh, they don't have any strip joints over there. No, that's what I found. It's like it's very difficult. It's very difficult to get laid in
He's
Jordan.
He's thinking about TSA.
Okay, yeah. Strip clubs in Israel.
No, but
are
what
there
I
any
was asking,
Palestine?
Okay,
are there
I've got a lot of questions. But did this visit change your politics, your feelings about Israel and Palestine?
I don't think it fundamentally changed my politics, but it definitely changed my feelings.
How did that change?
It changed.
It
personalized it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I have a sister who lives in Israel.
Yeah.
Who had a rocket land in her front yard from Gaza.
Okay.
Right? Nearly killed her children. And at the same time, I have friends who I love and care about who don't have passports. They can't leave anywhere. One of my friends was actually joking, saying that if you're a Palestinian and you make a little bit of money, there's nothing you can do with the money. Because you're not going to buy a house on land that you don't know is going to belong to you anymore. Uh-huh. So what they buy cars.
Cars.
They buy fancy cars because cars are extremely expensive in Israel. So they buy fancy cars. And the funniest thing about it is, like, they don't have anywhere to go with them. They can't take them anywhere. You know, they can go, like, they have a 30-mile radius where they can take their $200,000 Range Rover because that's how much it costs over there. They can drive at a 30-mile radius. They have nowhere to go with it because they can't leave. So there's three areas. There's Area A, Area B, and Area C.
Mm.
So Area A is like Palestinian proper. That would be Jericho, Ramallah, Jenin. You know, that's Area A. Area B is the roads that lead from one of those places to another. So it'd be like parts of the West Bank, like the Dead Sea area, like Highway 90. That would be like Area B, I think. That's like the gray area. And then Area C is like Israel territory. So all they can go, Palestinian license plates are not allowed in like anywhere in Area C. They're not allowed in like, oh, I don't know why this is on. They're not allowed anywhere in like Area C. They're only allowed in Area A and B. So they can literally only drive from like one Palestinian city to the other because those plates are not allowed in Israel. They're not legal in Israel. So that's all I do. So I have these friends who are like, not only are they losing family members and they have really hard time traveling. They don't have passports. They don't have proper IDs. They can't get anywhere. There's zero upward mobility. To me, like, the most heartbreaking thing is, like, seeing these people on set who are incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
There's this woman, Sophia, who is the production manager in Israel, in Palestine.
And
probably,
where was she from?
She's from Palestine. She's from Ramallah. Probably one of the most competent people I've ever met in my life.
Uh-huh.
Like, I told, if she moved to L.A., she would never be out of a job. People like that are extremely hard to find. Like, production people who are always cool, Always right. calm, always collected, and always get shit done.
Don't we
quickly.
Know that? That's hard
you know?
To find.
So hard to find. And she has no future. She has no future.
Oh, that's so terrible.
There's no. Wow. How do you build an economy if you don't own infrastructure? They don't own the water. Palestine doesn't own their own water system, their own sewer system, their own electricity, their own cell towers. Their own. I mean, they have no infrastructure. You cannot build an economy on that.
Well, that's why like they do call it an open-air concentration camp.
Well, that's Gaza. That's different. You know, it's a little. I mean, it's a. Okay. It's a little less of a concentration camp in Jericho and Ramallah.
Oh, okay.
Also, Jericho is a very poor city. Ramallah is like you know, like more of a coastal, like more
right,
like the coastal
okay.
cities in America.
So, I mean, yeah. you're. Would you believe in a one-state, two-state?
I don't know because I've spent so much time talking to my castmates about this and what they want, and I've heard all kinds of different point of views. And that's the thing is that Palestinians aren't a monolith either, you know.
Hmm.
What they there's some of them who basically say that Israel is occupying their land.
Yeah.
Israel should get the fuck out. It's not their land. It's our land. It's always been our land. We've been there before them, and
yeah.
they should just leave. And there are some who say, like, you know, they should at least give us citizenship.
Yeah.
You know, give us Israeli citizenship. You know, let us vote.
Yeah.
Let us get some members in the Knesset, you know, in the Israeli parliament.
Yeah.
And there are some who are like, oh, I want nothing to do with them. I don't want anything. I just, you know. So there's all kinds of opinions. And, I mean, the two-state solution seems like the most, you know, reasonable one. Like the one, the ones, also it seems like one that you can actually make it work, you know.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but the truth
if
is that a lot of right-wing Palestinians don't want that.
Power.
A lot of right-wing Palestinians don't want
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
So
they want it all.
Yeah, so you have you know, just like the Israeli population is fractured,
uh-huh.
you know, you have the right-wing and left-wing in Israel, you have the right-wing and left-wing in Palestine. And so, like, it's, you know, you make deals with the government that's currently in power, which is Fatah. And that's why they cannot make deals with Gaza, because Gaza is controlled by Hamas. So there's actually no cohesion in the actual Palestinian government itself, because it's divided in two.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So no Palestine can get a passport?
Most Palestinians either don't have a passport or they have a Jordanian passport.
Okay.
But they don't have Jordanian citizenship. So
I always wondered, I meet Israelis, like, here and everywhere, but I don't ever meet Palestinians. And
no.
I'm like, oh, they can't travel?
Well, they can't really travel much. It's very difficult for them to travel.
We
so
have
for
a
example,
Palestinian in the House of Representatives. What's her name?
Yeah, Ilhan Omar or, like, Ayanna Pressley.
I never
Ayanna
met
Pressley.
Her.
No. It's someone else. Talib?
Oh, Rashida Talib.
Rashida Talib,
yeah.
Right.
But, like, so the thing
She's
is,
She's the
like,
one that said, fuck Trump.
Yeah.
I love
Impeach
her
the motherfucker.
That.
No?
Yeah, exactly.
Impeach the motherfucker.
That's the
so
one.
Like they can travel. So for example, because Palestinians are not allowed to go into Israel, the major international airport in that whole area is Tel Aviv. It's the only airport in that whole area that has flights to everywhere, directly to America, directly to Europe, a lot of direct flights. The only other airport where they can get out of the country is Amman, Jordan. But in order to get to Amman, they have to go through three checkpoints, three borders. They have to cross the Palestinian border, the Israeli border, and the Jordanian border. Okay? Yeah. It's a six-hour ordeal just to cross the border. And then, of course, you have to get a visa. It's very difficult for Palestinians to get a visa, especially to America, because, like, well, what if they're a terrorist, you know, whatever. So it's very difficult for them. For example, this, my friend Sophia, she was actually born in Florida.
Wow.
Yeah. She was actually born in Florida to Palestinian parents, and then she went back.
Huh.
Yeah, but my other friend. So,
so
if
she
wants,
have an American.
That's what I was telling her.
Passport, if she wants.
She could. She want. Yeah, she could if she wants to. You know, and I think she maybe she has even. But my other friend Dima, whose family is from Gaza, she has a Palestinian. She has a Jordanian passport. She studied in Bristol. She went to Bristol to get her degree. But every time she wants to apply to get her master's, because she wants to be a filmmaker, she has to go through these incredible lengths. To, like, first of all, to get the scholarship, you know, you have to get, because, you know, Palestinians don't have a lot of money, most of them. And then she has to go through a visa process that is just insane, because they have no citizenship anywhere.
Mm.
You know, so they have Jordanian passports, but they're not Jordanian citizens.
So I have two big questions.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously, we could talk about this for several
all night
years.
Long. Yeah.
Okay.
Can someone
so
get me another beer from the fridge?
Another beer for
beer.
The world traveler.
Beer. It's
get some beer.
Modelo.
Thank you.
Modelo.
It's in the. Okay. Thank you.
What about so, me? My mountain.
Oh,
view.
Another beer. Well, we're going to do Bonoboville Communion in a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, and an ashtray.
But yeah, you can get a beer. Okay, so number one, what
I'm gonna
where
light
was
up.
The best sex?
What?
Where did you have the best sex?
Well, considering that in Israel, that in Jordan, there's not really much sex
get
going on because people are a little more religious and conservative over there.
Okay, so you couldn't get it much there.
Yeah, Israel was good.
Israel was
I
good.
I had some good sex in Israel. I had some good... I did have good sex in Jordan, but with a tourist.
Now, how about Palestine?
I didn't have any sex with any Palestinians.
No, even
no.
These friends, girlfriends.
No, but I'll tell you this: that I did when I was in Ramallah. I did meet a girl at a bar.
Uh huh. Oh.
And I took a hotel over there in Ramallah, and she came back with me to the hotel, but she could not come up to the room with me.
Wait a second! 5 minutes left of the show. Are we done with the show?
When did we start?
I see a 5 minute sign.
Yeah, yeah.
It we started
almost
late.
Midnight.
Yeah, but we started so late.
Yeah, we started late.
I think we can go over. We have to do Bonoboville Communion.
We have to do Bonoboville Communion.
So your best sex was in Israel. You stayed with your lawnsman.
Yeah.
You have 16 minutes.
All right.
1-5.
And then my other question.
I was going to say that I brought her back to the hotel, but she couldn't come up to the room because she wasn't married to me.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah,
in Palestine.
It's in Palestine, yeah, wow. In Ramallah. Even in Ramallah. I mean, there are some. I heard that there are some hotels where like they let you...
You got to run around with your marriage certificate?
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
I heard there are some hotels that like let you slide or you can bribe them and let you in. Because they used to have a huge prostitution problem in Ramallah.
Uh-huh.
And they were trying to like...
Prostitution
so now,
is not a problem unless
yeah, but
you
they,
make it one.
It was a problem over there because they think it's a problem. Because
they think it's a problem.
You know, as my friend Penn Jillette says, you know, prostitution isn't dangerous, isn't illegal because it's dangerous. It's dangerous
Penn
because
Jillette
it's illegal.
Of Penn and Teller.
Yes.
Who I met too.
Yeah.
But
he
he's
said
gotten
that the,
really conservative and he's really a kind of gun
He's a libertarian. Yeah, he's got I got some issues with him.
So my other question.
Yes. Can I light a cigarette? Is there an ashtray somewhere?
Just you. Okay, so what is the movie about? Very bare bones.
Bare bones. The movie is about an Orthodox Jew from Brooklyn who gets lost in the Sinai Desert.
That would be you.
That would be me.
You must be the Orthodox Jew.
Yes,
from Brooklyn.
I play
this
the lead.
This is No Name Restaurant.
No Name Restaurant. He gets lost in the desert and he gets help from a Bedouin in Egypt.
Bedouin.
Yeah. We couldn't shoot in Egypt, so we shot in Jordan.
The idea is very a buddy movie between a Jew and a Bedouin.
I'm ignorant.
Nice.
Bedouin?
Bedouins are Arabs who live in the desert.
Tribal.
I mean, I don't know if they're Palestinian.
There are Bedouins.
They go around
there are
on camels, right?
In Israel. Well, no, they go around mostly on land cruisers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, old Toyota pickup trucks.
What happened to the camels?
I met Bedouins.
Oh, they have camels too. They have camels too.
In Israel.
Yeah.
Pulling their cars.
You want to know what I saw? You want to know what I saw?
Quick.
I saw this guy. He came. He had his camel. The rope of his camel was attached to his pickup truck. He was driving his pickup truck, and his camel was kind of like tagging along with
all
the pickup
right.
truck.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Hey.
That's the Middle
he was like,
East.
I'm not sitting on that motherfucker all the way home. He's like, I'm going to sit in the AC. He's a camel. He can handle it. You know? Let him stand in the sun
I
over
hope
there.
He wasn't driving
well, that's
fast,
why they have the
right?
No, 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 no.
Okay. And I'm like, that's mean to the camel.
No, these camels, they can go.
Isn't the hump where they put the ice chest?
They have, like, full of water over there. And they eat bushes. They just eat, like, these thorny bushes, these, like,
right.
prickly bushes. Because it has, like, salt in it. So it's like, very uh-huh. salty. So they eat, like, the salt. Can I use something for the ashtray here?
Yeah, ashtray.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, should I... No, I don't want to use... This I got at Huntington Gardens on my birthday.
Huntington
oh, by the
Gardens.
Way, Speakeasy...
Speakeasy, available now.
Available now. Amazon will not carry it because they censored
it's
it.
Too
Bezos
sexy.
Censored it. But you can get it on our site. Speakeasy is right here for you. And there's a picture of sunshine in it.
Oh.
Yeah,
there
baby.
She is, sunshine.
Yas, queen.
Yeah, we're doing a spanking gangbang.
Gracias.
And sunshine
it's
is a key,
okay, it's not gonna fall. Okay.
Key participant. And
The Bonobo Way is also available.
Well,
on Amazon.
Yeah, Bonobo Way is always available on Amazon, as is the Splosh edition of Speakeasy, which was a big hit at ASECT, as was the Bonobo Way. Yeah, I mean, we sold a bunch of copies. So
like
the ASECT bookstore. Okay, so we have very little time.
Communion.
So we're going to do communion, okay, because we're going to celebrate Pride as well as surviving the ASECT conference, the mad moderator, the attack of the mad moderator. And we're celebrating Loser coming back and Sunshine joining our merry band of Bonobovillians. And Hollywood Jake is here. And, you know, he's a bartender, or he has been a bartender. And is your beautiful girlfriend, can she come up here? Last 10 minutes? Okay, and I'm sorry, I forget your girlfriend's name. Rika. Yeah, Rika. At least
yeah.
Not Rico.
Jake, take your shirt off. You can keep your shirt on if you want to.
Okay. Okay, so, hi.
I mean, you shouldn't, but you can.
Can I have a hug from Rika? Yes. Welcome to the new Bonoboville. Do we have a mic for these guys? Say something.
You can have mine.
How you guys
Everyone.
Doing? How do you
Hello.
Like How do you like the new Bonoboville?
Oh, I like
it's
your new
It's not
digs.
Unpacked yet. So that's why we don't really have official guests. It feels crowded tonight.
Yeah.
Because we've had like no guests, but yeah, tonight we're busy, but we'll you know it's a very cool place. We're in the
it.
Mountains. That's all we're gonna say. We're not gonna say where we are. We're in an undisclosed location.
As usual.
But we are going to celebrate with agua.
Yummy.
Which you know it kind of matches Pride. It's got the green. Actually, everything matches Pride, right? Every
yeah,
letter of
the
alphabet,
colors.
Every color.
It also matches St. Patrick's Day, but yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of things. Christmas, you know. So, okay. So you're the bartender, right?
I am.
You know what you're doing. Okay. So pour. Don't pour. I mean, I don't know. Do you want a whole glass, Sunshine?
Why not?
Not for me. I don't want a whole
Why
glass.
Why not? YOLO.
YOLO. What does YOLO
okay.
mean?
Oh, geez, you poured
you
a whole
You only
lot.
Live once.
Oh, that one's for you. Okay, so wait. Let me do this. Oh, you're going to pour just a little. Okay. Let me do it. I'm going to be my own bar. He won't let me.
A whole glass, Jake.
He's such
Jake,
a macho
guy. A whole glass is a
okay,
lot.
That's too much.
Yeah, less than a whole glass is a little.
Take another
he
sip.
It, it's fine.
No, she's not allowed yet. She's got to do communion.
Rules, man. Oh, no, I'm good. This is not Nam.
Okay.
There are rules, man.
All right. Okay. So, I think we should do it over here, but the Facebook cameras are not allowed to watch.
Facebook cameras can
so
just stay on me.
So, let them know they can, Facebook people. Are you on there at all? On my Facebook.
I finally got your show to show up, and I shared it, and I did.
No, don't just share it. Are you
no,
talking
I did,
to people?
I did.
Okay, we got to talk about this after.
Yeah, we don't talk. We don't talk
okay.
technical stuff live.
I couldn't do anything. But I
first rule of
Fight Club. When I was on yours, okay,
be
I was
on mine. Don't be on.
I did go on yours, and I made a comment.
Okay.
Freezing every 5 seconds.
Freaking?
Freezing.
Oh, freezing.
Freezing.
Is it freezing?
Yeah, we're in the mountains.
I'm hot. Well, anyway.
Yeah, you're okay. always hot.
We'll have to discuss
See,
this.
See, I did make a
All
comment.
All right, so this is Bonoboville Communion. So come right sit over here.
Facebook Live can stay on me.
I barely remember this.
Okay, oh, this so you're going to sit there. That's
because I'm taking
maybe
my pants off.
Sit.
Well, you can't sit in Dr. Susie's chair.
You can sit in my chair.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
That's handsome Hollywood Jake. Yeah. Okay, so you sit there. I'll sit here. Okay, so now I don't know which camera we should look at. This one, Max's camera. Okay, so the Facebook camera should show handsome Hollywood Jake and handsome loser Twersky and the handsome, beautiful, yeah, show them. Okay, so do you want to do it first with me and then I'll do it with you? Okay, so, okay, I'm pulling out a nipple. Don't show the nipple on Facebook. Okay, here's my nipple. Okay, so give it a lick first. Yeah, you have to Lick it first. This
Ooh,
is communion.
Lickety, lickety, lickety.
Baruch atadonai. Eloheinu melech haolam.
Lickety, lickety, lickety.
Borei peri ha nipple.
Borei peri ha nipple.
Amen. Women. Okay, now you lick the salt.
Yummy.
Yeah,
yummy.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, and now I waterboard you.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
So
what
if you're
going to
get
Palestine?
The big one, can you handle all that? No, that's too much. It is straight liqueur. Liqueur. That's mine. Okay, so here, you go right between my legs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And lean back.
Yeah.
And you're getting waterboarded, bonobo style.
Yeah. Whoop.
You took almost all of it.
Oh, yeah. She
That's
took
what
all
he
of
said,
it in.
Right? That's what he said. Okay. So now me. Okay. Water. Okay. Here.
Water. There you go. Now take all of that in. Let me see take all of that in.
Yeah, can you take that?
Deep throat the straw.
Mm. Those balls are small but sturdy.
I think the balls are okay. Already cupped.
Okay,
maybe
so
they're not cupped,
now,
they're glassed.
You sit down. I know, I know. Okay.
Well, you got to do this once a week.
I got to get to your boobs. How do I get to your boobs?
Uh-oh.
How do I get to your
boobs?
A lot
of work. Somebody should help her, not me.
She's doing very well. Oh, look at those beauties. Okay. No, they really are. They're really beautiful. How... Wait, wait. Let's talk on the microphone. Where
Thanks,
did you get those boobs?
I grew them myself during puberty.
All right.
Oh, fun.
Wow. Okay.
I feel like I'm on the wrong side of the stage, but yeah.
Now I prepare the communion altar. She is my altar girl. And now I sprinkle on the salt. This is the body of Christ or the goddess or whoever. And now I consume the body. This is an important part of communion.
Uh-oh.
I left a little.
Uh-oh, sensitive okay. Nipples. Sensitive nipples.
And now you get to waterboard me. You can't do any more. Okay, well, do you want to waterboard me?
Sure.
Okay, but leave your boob out. Well, I mean, you don't
Come
have
on,
to,
Dick Cheney, waterboard her.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Ah, okay. I actually take my hat off for this.
Oh, yeah, it's a big one.
Just a little bit.
Mm. Mm.
Whee! Whee!
That is the blood, the green blood of the bonobo Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bitch.
It's agua.
What is that? Hey, women.
De Bolivia. Herbal cocoa leaf liqueur. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have kind of baptized the little love church of the Bonobo Way, because that is our first Bonoboville communion. So let's give a hand to Block.
Yeah!
Sunshine.
Give it a big round of applause.
Yeah. Woo. All right, do you guys want to do communion? You're all right?
I'm scared.
All right, next
time. Are you scared to show your nipples on TV?
Us guys? What about your...
You got about...
Wow. Hollywood Jake is so
Seriously,
generous.
I mean, I like... I have never considered it.
Oh, my God, he just drinks it like Mwah. That. I can't believe Mwah. It.
All right, well, that's a form of communion, I guess. Anna, come on up here. You have a beautiful...
Anna! Anna.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yeah. Oh, now I really have 4 minutes.
Mm. Better make it count.
Yeah. Okay. So, now let's all get together.
Come together.
And let's all say amen.
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 Ah, women.
Ah, women.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's a fairly big group tonight, and we're just very excited to celebrate Pride and celebrate Sunshine joining us and celebrate Anna just being here and Hollywood Jake and Rika joining us off the cuff, and Loser surviving his Middle East diplomatic mission.
Ha.
And, you know, we're just happy you guys could join us, too. Don't forget, follow the bonobo way. Yay. Very important. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Mm. Impeach Trump, okay? Mm. For so many reasons. But certainly he's just destroying the earth. And
woof.
Whoop.
War in 2020.
He woofed. He's a
and, war and in 2020.
War in 2020.
Yeah.
Woof. Well, I mean, next week maybe we'll talk about which candidates we like.
Buttigieg.
But I can't even pronounce his name. But it begins with a B, and so does bonobo. And
bam.
He's gay. So, you know,
yeah.
Hey, bonobos are gay, and that's okay. And so does Buttigieg. But fuck. No.
But.
All right. So make like bonobos, not baboons. Make like love, bonobos, not, baboons. Not war. Make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you. I love you. Mwah. Blow them a kiss and say, I love you.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
I'll put it up with you. We'll see what happens.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question or play out a fantasy or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the Make Love, Not War great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war, really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure, with the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males. Bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, Bonobos can teach us so much. Which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life. Hear that buzz? That's the Motor Bunny.